John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you."
Even as I bring up this Bible from Eastside, I'm reminded that we weren't just called to the east side of town, we were sent there. Maybe some of you recognize this. There's like the Bible you guys changed out. They were getting old, but there was about 400 of them. And so when we were sent over there, we're like, oh, we'll take those. And so here's our Bibles. Well, we really couldn't say it enough. We were called. We were moved. He has put us there. We've become convinced of this over and over. But we were also very much sent. And a big affirmation, right, of God's calling, an inner conviction confirmed by the church body. And so Travis and the elders and the leadership of the chapel, just through various ways the Spirit led them, became united on that sending. And that has been a great assurance to us every step. So thank you. Now, I listened to two of Travis's sermons last week, the one he did online and the one he did outside. I did not listen to his sermon that he did in here. But I'm assuming, Travis, that you mentioned big ideas. Big ideas live here. When he did it outside, maybe some of you heard, but he asked the kids to come up with any of their big ideas. And one of the kids who came up said, "Yeah, you know, essentially, I have a big idea, like some peace and quiet." And I thought, I'm sure he would, you know, for a lot during this pandemic. The volume in homes has dramatically changed, especially during the day, where there's kids and parents trying to educate their kids at home. And I've heard a lot of frustration in it, that it's been hard, and that there are probably kids and parents thinking, I could use a little peace and quiet. At the same time, we also know that some homes have become very, very quiet. I know for my mom, her last since March in a nursing home, that all the quiet that she has been made to endure hasn't brought her peace at all. It's just far too quiet and alone. And it hasn't brought peace to her kids either, who can no longer go and visit them. And recently, or at least not the same way, I talked to my sister just yesterday and said, at the beginning of this pandemic, she still recognized me. She no longer does. That this has been hard, that we might be looking for peace in the quiet, and sometimes it's there. Or maybe we're looking for peace in some kind of volume or distraction or noise or something. And sometimes it's there. But the fact is, right, that the peace that this world offers, whether it be in quiet or in noise, doesn't last. That there is a way to peace. And as we first heard in John 14 and hear Jesus reiterating again in John 20, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That there is peace available, that Jesus gives us his peace. And it's not a temporary peace that we can lose forever in a moment as the world gives, but a peace for now and for always. Jesus gives us his peace. I want to say in this passage here in John 20, he actually gives us two steps to receiving this peace. That it's a peace that he offers, but it actually isn't a peace that we're guaranteed. That is, he offers it to the world, but the whole world doesn't experience his peace. There are steps to take, and in this passage here, he says it twice and has two different steps, or maybe I should say two different sides to the same coin, and how we might receive his peace. That in verse 19, he walks into the room and they do not have peace. They are in fear behind a closed door, huddled up together, afraid. And Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace to you. Peace be with you." And then he takes an action. What do you see him do in the very next verse? He shows himself to them. He shows his hands, the scars in his hands and in his side. And they are overjoyed. It's interesting to me. All along, I thought, the hands and the side have to be identifying him. And I'm actually not even saying that they're not. I will say that would be a strange way to present yourself to someone and identifying yourself. I mean, right, like you could actually create those wounds yourself and not be Jesus. So what exactly is going on here? I want to say Jesus is doing more than just identifying to the disciples that he is Jesus. He is identifying to the disciples that he is exactly who John the Baptist said he was back in John chapter 1. When John the Baptist, when seeing Jesus, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." According to Exodus 29, a lamb had been sacrificed in the temple every morning, every evening, starting out in the tent of meeting, moving to the temple, that this was a practice they were familiar with. A lamb sacrificed to remove sins. And now they've been waiting for the Lamb of God. And here he is. And he is identifying himself to them as, "I am Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." I mean, honestly, what can remove peace faster than guilt, shame? And I don't know what can move into my heart and my mind faster than guilt and shame. You know, as my mom struggles, it's still very easy for me to think of things that I said to her back when I was a boy. I mean, 11 or 12. I mean, things that I've said sorry to her and repented of and confessed to the Lord over and over, and the enemy just wants to bring it back, right? And rob peace. And then there's those other times, right, when you do something wrong, but you're still a little bit mad. And so you don't want to go say sorry to a person because maybe they did some things that hurt you too. And so you're not owning your peace until they own theirs or something like that, right? Familiar with it? How's it going? There's no peace there, right? That there's this forgiveness that we can find when we confess, We confess to our Savior. The lamb that was slain is how John's going to identify him later in Revelation 5. The lamb that is worthy because he was slain. That we can be forgiven. Every Sunday, actually every day of the week, we have a community that gathers and confesses as a community. Monday through Friday, we have a 7 a.m. prayer time. On Saturdays, we have a 9 a.m., and on Sundays, we do it in church. And I'd love to just walk you through a time of confession, even right now. What I'd like to do is start with a moment of silence where you can just confess anything that comes to your heart and mind that you feel you need to confess. If you don't have anything, you can ask the Lord to bring it. And then after a while, I'm going to read a confession out loud to us, and then an assurance of forgiveness. Would you please join me now in just a moment of silence, where as we prepare our hearts and minds for the rest of this service, we confess whatever we need to confess to our Savior. I'll read this confession for all of us now. O Lord, we have not longed for your coming and your kingdom as we ought. We have not denied ourselves, taken up the cross, and followed you. Instead, clinging to the things of this world and counting them dear, we have grown callous to the needs of the poor, the lonely, and the suffering. We have not cried out for truth and justice, nor cared about those who are without Christ and without hope in this world. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our offenses and grant that by the power of your Spirit, we might live in light of your coming again. Amen. As our assurance of forgiveness, I'd like to read a verse that we probably read a few times every week, and it's from Revelation chapter 1. It begins at verse 4 through verse 6. And in that passage, John is writing to the churches, and he says to them, "Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Peace. Peace be with you. Jesus gives us his peace, and we receive his peace when we receive him as the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. It's actually not the only thing he says, though. In fact, Jesus repeats himself right after it, says the exact same thing. Peace be with you. And then he goes into another step or another side of the same coin. And he says this, "Just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Okay, I just want to say that the first step with peace, it just makes sense to me, right? Guilt and shame, it robs you. And when you can give it to him and he washes over us and forgives us, it makes sense. It's almost intuitive, right? That we would have peace. But this part isn't quite as intuitive. Because there's a reason why they're in that room terrified. It's because they're scared for their lives. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm sending you back out. And here's what's going to happen. As I send you, you will have peace. My peace I give to you. In the midst of the sending, he doesn't say it's not hard work. Absolutely, it's hard work. Back in John 4, when Jesus was tired at the well, he talked about the hard work that had been put into this harvest already, and now you're being sent into the harvest. In John, the very next chapter, 21, he's going to talk to Peter and say, Peter, hey, I'm sending you too. And he said, there was a time when you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted to go. But not anymore. The day is coming when someone else will dress you and they'll spread out your hands and take you where you don't want to go. But in all this, Jesus is saying, this is the pathway to peace. And you know what? I bet Peter kind of knew it. Because the last time he was faced with a life and death decision on would he confess Christ or not, he denied and had no peace. Oh, what a difference. No, we receive his peace when we receive his mission. And it just doesn't always feel like that or look like that as we go to take that step. Karen really was nervous about what am I going to do? And it's not like I could give her any answers. I thought, I have no idea how you're going to go do something in Brentwood. I'm not saying don't go if he's calling you. I'm just saying, I don't know who the landlord is either. In fact, when Karen went in there with Carol Jo and they met the landlord and they met the maintenance guy and then they said, hey, come back Fridays at 5. You know what I thought? Well, praise the Lord, that spirit's moving you like that, but I'm not convinced he's moving me. So I don't actually have any plans to be there Friday at 5. I mean, this is what we've been saying at Eastside. You are the disciple makers. Move out. He's got work for you. All right, he's going to move you. Besides, I get up really early. We have a 7 a.m. prayer time. I'm done drinking coffee by the time we're at 7. Like, I've been up for hours. 5? I don't want to do church at night. I want to do church in the morning. But at 5 o'clock, I helped Karen load up my truck with the chairs and the tables, and she drove off, and I was sitting there at church, and this little team goes out there, still not quite sure what they're going to do or what it's going to look like. And I was just sitting there at church thinking, I'm not sure the Lord's called me to sit here alone while my wife goes sets up the chairs and the table. So I'll at least go over there and do that. And so I did, and as I did, the kids came out. Last Friday, 2 days ago, by the way, there's 16 kids there. It was like a pile of them. I didn't even know there were that many in the place. But as they came up, it just thought, wow, there's actually some kids I made a connection with. I became convinced God was calling me back. The last time recently, when I was there, I talked to the kids a little bit about John 9, where Jesus heals the blind man. And one of the boys went home and told his mom about it, and he came back. He said, yeah, I told my mom about that story. And she said, that's one of her favorite stories, too. I thought, oh, that's great. We'd love to team up with what's going on with Jesus and what he's doing back in your home. And so we taught him the Lord's Prayer. And as we were talking about that and talking about how special each of you are, that God created you individually, he knows the number of hairs in your head. And one of the kids said, yeah, it's like we're his children. I almost jumped out of my chair. Like, yes, it's exactly like that. And then one of the boys said, yeah, it's like I have a father at home and I have a father in heaven. I said, yes. And then the boy right next to him, who I didn't know till that moment was his half-brother, I thought they were brothers, he said, yeah, and it's like I have three fathers, the one who left me, the one I live with now, and my Father in heaven. I just want to tell you, maybe Fridays at 5, I might be thinking there's some other place that I'd rather be. But when you hear his call and he's sending you, peace. There is peace in that moment and a joy. Like, wow, Lord, what are you doing here? Didn't even know these kids' names 3 weeks ago. There's peace. Jesus gives us his peace. And he gives it as we receive Jesus as the Lamb of God and as we receive his mission and are sent. I would like to encourage you. Grab a friend. They don't even have to be local. You can call your parents or your kids in some of the state or some friend, but find somebody who you can commit to. Hey, once a week or once every 2 weeks, we just get together and we ask this question exactly. No matter how awkward it feels, we just ask them this question. How is the sending going? Or say it any metaphor you want out of Scripture. How is the fishing going? How's the fishing? Just anything that will hold us accountable to remembering we are sent. We are all disciple makers, equipped by his Holy Spirit and sent out. Even as the Father sent the Son, so the Son sends us. And he has work for you. And I bet as you start asking every week or every other week, it'll do just what Karen talked about. It may be laughable that we need to be held accountable like this, but we do, right? We need the accountability. So when you know someone's calling you in a week, and it's been a week, and you know, oh, they're calling me at like 6 tonight, you know what happens? You start looking around for who you can talk to. And that's a good thing. That's community. That's this fellowship that we have. Fellowship in Scripture. From what I could tell, it's because they all felt sent and they're all being persecuted and they all found it hard and they grew tight and they knew they needed each other. Oh, I know many of you have been sending this, knowing this forever, and it's not even a new message. You've probably read John 20 a million times, but if you're like me, you just need the accountability and the encouragement to come together and hear the stories, share your stories. Even you could do, you know, if you have a way to meet together outside or however you want to, or your whole family, and 4 or 5 of you asking, how's it going? I've heard people say that these times have changed their lives as they get more and more intentional about receiving Jesus and receiving his mission and the peace and the joy that we will find. In the midst of the hardest things, he still sends us and he still brings peace. I had a conversation with my sister mostly last night, but with my mom too. And my mom has been in hospice now for quite a while. And on Wednesday, my sisters were called in because the nurses said it's probably hours now and not days. And so my mom, in classic fashion, is just way too strong and for her size, I don't know. But it hasn't been hours, it has been days. And so last night, though, my sister called me and she was hurting, you know, and she was there alone with my mom. My mom's 800 miles away. And just try to offer comfort. What I didn't anticipate was right at the end, I got an opportunity to pray. And she said, well, I got you on speakerphone. And she said, Mom's asleep, but maybe she can hear you. And so I got to thank my mom, pray for my mom, pray for my sister, pray for my family. And through all of this, right, weeping, I see my wife over on the couch weeping. There's a profound peace and gratitude because Jesus gives us his peace, not in the way the world gives. He gives us his peace when we receive him as the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and when we as a community embrace the mission of being sent. And let me just end by saying thank you. Thank you for sending us. Amen.